minds of the masses of men, and the devil's millennium for 1,000 years prevailed over the earth. And you could have gone thousands and thousands of miles from anywhere in any direction and never heard one line of the Bible anywhere. And we call it today the Dark Ages. Now, what is that? May I be kind and yet be firm? The woman represents the Roman Catholic Church. The corrupt system represents all those impositions of 1,000 gatekeepers, priest upon priest upon priest upon priest upon priest between man and God. One pagan doctrine after another one introduced into the pure three measures of meal, the relationship with God and His truth. And for 1,000 years, you could not detect God's truth from Satan's falsehood. There was no way to tell it. And Jesus Christ, as it were, withdrew Himself from the multitude, just as He did at the end of that fourth parable, because for 1,000 years He was away from them. Nobody would let Him out. He was imprisoned in a cathedral, as it were. And this was in His plan. He knew it. He understood it. But there it is. And that's the parable of the leaven, the fourth one. And then at the end of that fourth one, you come to a strange change. Jesus turns from the multitudes, drives them away, and goes into a house in private with His disciples, and then tells the last three parables. The fifth parable, the parable of the treasure, corresponds to the Sardis age of church history, or the period of Reformation, when something hidden is now recovered and brought out into the open again. And many times it remains still hidden, but at least there is the option for it to be open. I'm talking about the pure truth of God, and the fellowship of God's people, and the place of laymen in the body of Christ, and things like this, unfolded by Jesus and the apostles, now been hidden, and now toward the end of the age, coming out in the open again. The parable of the treasure hid in the field. And then comes the parable of the pearl, the church, corresponding to the Philadelphia age of church history, in Revelation chapter 3, where you see a glorious church with a wide open door, beckoning to men to come to Christ and going out to serve the world. And that church is patient and used of God. You see, that age is past. I'm sorry, but it's past. That's the Philadelphia age. And the church did what it knew to do to share Christ. You go back to the last century here in America, you see something quite different from what you see today. And we're bound right into the last parable, the seventh one, the parable of the dragnet, which Jesus says concerns the end of this age. When that great net of the gospel, having come down and waved and wavered its way through the surging tides of humanity and drawing in all those who will respond in any kind of decision, when that great net is jerked out of the water, put up on the shore, and fish find themselves in a foreign element altogether if they're not prepared for it. And then they're divided. Those who really know Christ are the good fish. Those who don't know Christ are the bad fish. Those who do not know Christ are burned in a furnace of fire. And the Bible says there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we are in that church time right now. We are ripening fast for judgment. And Jesus Christ looks at today's church, and I am embarrassed to have to say this, but it's true. He says, I am sick to my stomach of you. You make me vomit. That's what He said. He said, because you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were one or the other. I'd rather have you cold than lukewarm, but you are neither. You're like insipid, flat tea that's too cool to be appetizing, as you might want to taste it. He said, you're like that, and I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And judgment is on. But then there's coming a time when that period of judgment is over, and it'll last 7 years, it's known as the Great Tribulation, when the kingdom is going to be perfected. When Jesus comes back again with His church, He came 7 years before and got all the Christians out of the earth in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, took them to the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And through those 7 years, watching the tribulation on earth, when the nations of the earth are about ready to destroy themselves at a place named Megiddo over in the Middle East in the Battle of Armageddon, it'll be in the height of its fury. All kinds of weapons. Man's never made a weapon he didn't use, and he's stockpiling them now for that time. He's going to come in that war and institute a perfect government over the earth for 1,000 years. from the throne of David in Jerusalem. He will reign through his earthly people, the Jews, and through his heavenly people, the church. And he's collecting out that church today. Let me ask you, what if all of a sudden right now that trumpet sounded, and all of a sudden the great airlift took place, and every Christian instantly disappeared? Where would you be? Would you be sitting in a mostly empty church auditorium? What would you do? What would you do? You see, everything is determined by whether or not Jesus Christ is literally in you, that mystery, Christ in you, your hope of glory, whether he's in you as the Lord of your life. And you can have him tonight before you leave this place. If you're willing to confess your sins to God, the fact that you have controlled your own life instead of Christ, that's what sin is. Confess it to him. Give up all rights to yourself into Christ's hands. And then by faith, open the door of your life and let him come in to literally live in you, to administrate your life from the inside. That's what it is for Jesus to be Lord. And you can't be saved without that. For him to be Lord, he comes in that instant, and you are saved. And whatever else may happen, you're ready for his coming in that sense, in that moment. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and bow your heads and close your eyes and be in a spirit of prayer. And let's let the choir just somewhat quietly sing our hymn of invitation tonight. Just gently let God work in your heart. We've been awfully technical tonight, covered a lot of ground, said somewhat baffling things. But the Holy Spirit is the administrator of a time like this. And he wants to do a work in you right now. If you're willing on God's terms to let Christ have his way in your life, you can go away a changed person, never ever to be the same again. The Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart and invites you to Jesus. We want to ask you to do what God tells you to do, to come publicly, to confess Jesus before men as your Savior and Lord and Master, as he commands you to do, and let him have his way with you. The choir will sing, you pray, you do what God tells you to do in these closing moments of our service.